everyone. Welcome to today's episode. Today, we have a guest who is going to help you to get dressed on purpose. How you show up affects your confidence, but also affects the confidence that others have in you as well. So my guest today is a professional in helping you to not only look your best, but to know how you show up, how it affects your success in whatever field you find yourself. So this is Mary Lynn Ilnitsky, who is an image consultant. Welcome, Mary Lynn.
Thanks, Lisa. It's good to see you.
Good to see you as well. You look gorgeous as usual. I love that blue on you. It looks so good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Color makes the world go round.
Yes. Well, I wanted to have you on the show today because as you know, as a speaking coach, what you do is very, very important for people who are speaking, but not just speaking in front of people, but anybody who wants to make an impression on other people. And I think that would probably be everybody. Well, if not, then maybe they're going to change their mind after this conversation. It's not about performance. It's just about having an influence. So Mary Lynn, first of all, tell the listeners how you got into this industry. Tell a little bit about how you get started and what exactly you do as an image consultant.
Well, my background is in clothing and textiles. I took a degree in home economics with a focus on the textile side of things. Home economics is the study of how people, individuals, relate to their near and far environments. And of course, clothing is considered a near environment because it's one of the three basic things you need to live: food, clothing, shelter. Mm-hmm. So after I've been doing image work with people since 2000. So that's 21 years. Prior to that, I'd worked with a Canadian direct sales clothing company called Weekender Ladies Wear.
Oh, yeah.
I spent 10 years with them and I loved it. I just loved it because it was a very good product. It was made in Canada. It really solved a lot of problems for women when it came to dressing, not only for casual, but also for professional side of their lives. And I learned a lot about how to dress women and their shapes. But there came a point in time when that just wasn't doing that anymore. We had a physical move from Manitoba to Alberta, and trying to start that all up again after 7 years was just really, really challenging. So I decided, well, what else can I do with this? I mean, I've got this 10 years experience working, you know, hands-on with women, and really enjoyed it. So the next step, what do I do? And I sort of fell into it by reading a book. And I thought, I could do that. And that would help and still continue to solve these problems that women have about getting dressed effectively. You know, and when you think about the history of women going back into the work or going into the workforce in full force in the 80s and 90s, and then into the 2000s, and how the world of work has changed so much for women, the idea of having a functional, effective, sustainable wardrobe is more and more crucial now than it ever has been. Mm-hmm. It's not about wearing that suit so that you're competing with your male counterpart anymore, because not only has the world of work changed, but so has the way we dress in those situations changed really, really dramatically. So getting into this, it's been sort of an evolution too. I mean, it's a learning curve. But I find that it's really rewarding to help women figure out that in order to be comfortable and feel confident in their own skin, dressing effectively and knowing that you can walk into a room and not miss a beat is crucial. And then you don't think about it. You know you're set, and you don't think about it. So you're not distracted by wondering, did I do this right? Or am I wearing the wrong clothes, or whatever it is? So basically the story behind how I got into it. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. It's a lot of fun. And it's, I love seeing the light bulbs go off.
Yes. Yes. I can imagine. And I do know that you enjoy it a lot and that you are very good at what you do. When someone comes to you and wants your help, what are some of the first things that you, maybe some questions that you ask them to find out more about what their needs are?
Well, a lot of it is, you know, what's bugging you about the clothes you have? Mm. What's not working? And have you been able to reflect long enough on it to understand, or are you just totally confused?
Mm.
Are you in a transition? And we go through so many transitions through our life. And I'm, you know, I'm past the empty nester, and you know, I'm into grandparenthood now. So I've gone through a lot of transitions, a lot of the transitions that women in their 40s through, you know, mid to late 50s are going through right now. I've already done that and been there, and I understand those transitions. And then how you dress and how that affects your effectiveness, how that affects your effectiveness, mm-hmm. with, you know, feeling comfortable. So, you know, I ask, you know, are you in a transition right now? What's happening in your life? What's happening in your lifestyle, mm-hmm. that you're transitioning from one thing to another? You know, other questions, are there certain colors you like to wear and why? Are you struggling to find clothing that fits you effectively or that you feel good in? Mm. Those kinds of questions, because I think it's really important to understand how they feel about how the marketplace is supporting them,
mm.
as a consumer or not.
Mm. You
know, and giving them some resources of where they might find some of the items that they will feel more comfortable in.
Tell me a little bit more about that statement you just made there, whether or not the marketplace is supporting them or not. What does that mean?
Well, I work with a format. You know, we look at colors that are the most effective to wear. You said you love me in this blue. Well, I wear this intentionally because it reflects my eye color to a great extent. It's one of the colors in the color palette that I use to build my wardrobe.
Beautiful.
Okay, so mm-hmm. there's that. That's the first part of the concept of personal style. And when you understand the three parts of that concept and how you fit into them or how they apply to you, then it starts to make things a lot simpler. The first one is this color component.
Mm-hmm.
When you build a wardrobe around the colors in the spectrum that your skin, hair, and eye color fits into, then all of a sudden you have a coordinated wardrobe and everything mix and matches and goes together really, really easily. Mm. And you don't have that getting up in the morning and having to go somewhere and looking in your closet and saying, I have nothing to wear. What am I going to wear? That is, you know, I don't know how many women waste so much time,
yes,
in their closets, standing there with this look on their face because they just don't have anything that kind of works together. So this helps coordinate that. And there are six different color palettes with the system I work with. It's not a summer, winter, spring, fall system. It's a spectrum system that's based on a little bit deeper or broader coloring that we have in our world for skin tones and hair and eye colors. So the color thing is really important. And then, but that can cause challenges because sometimes the colors that you can wear effectively aren't in the marketplace. For example, I was in a shop yesterday morning just quizzing the owner about, well, what's coming in for fall next year and what's coming in for winter. And everything is very, very on the warm side, like the oranges and the sage greens. And so people who have warm undertones and warmth to their skin, hair, and eyes and hair, they'll have a heyday in that, but they're not necessarily the majority of the people in Canada. The majority of the people in Canada tend to be more cool. And so those are the blues, the reds, the pinks, and those colors just aren't going to be in the marketplace. So when they're not in the marketplace, it's really challenging. So what do you do? And that I say you just be patient and wait and, you know, wait it out because it will swing around. There's always, And I find that we have warmer colors in spring, cooler colors in summer, warmer colors in fall, and cooler colors in winter. So for people with the cooler undertones, the shopping happens in summer and winter with a few picks in the fall and spring if necessary. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to understand how the market's going to support you from that standpoint. And the color part is really the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can always get garments to fit you if you take advantage of someone who can alter them for you so they do fit you. Mm-hmm. And that's really crucial because, you know, if their pants are too long or you turn them under and not hem them properly, people notice that and it looks sloppy. Mm-hmm. So using someone to help the clothes fit you and make the clothes fit you is really a good strategy. Mm-hmm. Some of us fit off the rack quite well, but there's always a tweak. Mm-hmm. And you can take something that's relatively inexpensive, or as I do, and this is what I tell my clients to do, don't buy full price. Wait until the good clothes go on sale and then, you know, tweak them to fit you, add the alteration in, and you're ahead of the game. So you've got really nice clothes that fit your body because you've had them altered to fit you. They might be a size off. I would say buy larger, not smaller, and have it altered to fit you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can have really, really high retail price clothing at a fraction of the cost and add the tailoring in. So those are some of the things that I talk to my clients about and try and encourage them to do. I really, really feel it's the most important thing is to get the color right and get the fit right.
So what I hear you saying is you have to know what is that unique style that you're looking for that's going to fit that person, the color, and maybe even the shape of the clothing. Is that right?
Yeah. And then there's also your clothing personality, which is the fun stuff. Trying to figure out where you fit into four prototypes. There's a tailored classic, a natural casual, a dramatic exotic, and a feminine romantic. And we all have a bit of each of those prototypes in us, but one will predominate. And when you understand that, that tells you why you buy certain things all the time, because you're drawn to them. And a story to illustrate this is when I was a young mom with two toddlers, I would go to the Bay, and it was the Bay then, not Hudson's Bay. And in the Bay, there was a section called the mirror room. And in the mirror room were all the business clothes, the suits and the beautiful Jones New York, when they Jones New York made suits and things like that. And I would just stand there and just, oh, I want to have a suit. I had no reason to have a suit. It's not in my lifestyle. There's no, where would I wear the darn thing? So, you know, it's funny. That's what I was drawn to. And I later learned it in my training as an image consultant that the reason I would do that was because I tend to be very classic and tailored in my approach to this. I'm a very tailored, classic individual, and that's what draws me. Now, how do I take that information and bring it into a lifestyle that is a young mom? And that's where the Weekend Earth stuff came in really, really well, because it just really fit into that sense of how I wanted to show up, that I always wanted to look well put together and, you know, coordinated. And that's part of that clothing personality. So, you know, I think I reflect back on all this and I think it's just hilarious, you know, wanting to wear a suit or buy a suit when I had a 2-year-old hanging on my.
But you speak to something because it reflects the personality. There's something about it that you were drawn to, and that's the point that you're wanting to get across. And which is cool, because I can think about things for me that are like, okay, why am I drawn to this kind of clothing? And having worked with you a little bit, that I know why now. And it's so freeing when you say, okay, that's why, because this is part of my personality, or this is part of my bent. But then within the context of that, what you do is you help people to say, okay, that might be something you're drawn to, but what would be some colors or some things that even within that would actually look best on you. And really that's what it is. This is what I hear you saying. Is that
you want to take that core personality and be able to identify how that impacts your wardrobe, and then look at where you spend your time,
mm-hmm.
and how you, what items of clothing can you add into your wardrobe that are going to be functional and effective, but still reflect that personality without having to wear a business suit to yeah. wash the dishes, kind of a thing. And, you know, when you start to think of it that way, in the way that, okay, I really like to look put together and, you know, I like things that are more tailored, you can find casual clothing with those lines mm-hmm. that will reflect and express that personality, but still fit your lifestyle. And that's the thing that happens with people when we go through these transitions. Most often it's a lifestyle transition more right. than anything. Because, I mean, you know, you've gone through the young mom, small children,
yeah.
medium-sized children, teenagers, young adults, you know, and every stage of that, we change too. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah. so how do we express that through our visual image? How do we show that to the world as we transition through these things? And when the marketplace doesn't support that, because I remember when I was going through my 50s or late 40s, early 50s, Britney Spears was the big thing, and the crop tops and the low rise jeans. And, you know, and it was like, holy mackerel. And there were a lot of women in the same space as I was saying, well, now what do we do? There's nothing in the marketplace for us to buy. Where do we go? We don't want to look, you know, we don't want to shop in the old ladies section, and we can't shop in the Britney Spears section. And the marketplace literally was not accommodating the middle ground.
Wow. Wow.
And, so, you know, it does now. So I will say it does now.
Yeah. You think that the fashion, the people who rule the fashion industry would incorporate all of these in each release, you know, you got to put everybody's mix in there. It's not just one, you know, the warm or the cold. What we've been talking about right now has a lot to do with even feeling good, the confidence factor. But I know you also help women and men to understand that how you show up, how you look, how you take care of yourself, your appearance is also a communication tool and help them reach their goals. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I really believe that. I really believe that we need to be very, very conscientious or conscious of the messaging, the visual messaging we're sending, because clothing has for centuries, we've spoken to each other in the language of dress before we even have a chance to say, hello, my name is, yeah. you know, you know this, and I know this, mm-hmm. we walk into a room full of people, whether it's a networking event or, you know, any kind of a social event. And I'll guarantee you 50% of the people do the up and down and check you out, you know, and if you've blown the dress code, that can be extremely uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. then you lose your confidence. You can't put two words together without an or an ah or a tweak or this or that, you know. And physically, we show our discomfort by our gesturing.
Mm-hmm.
When we walk into that room and we know we nailed it, or we know ourselves, okay, I'm going to a networking meeting. I want to look professional and approachable. I got dressed with that in mind. That's my messaging. You know, you're in charge of that message. You go to that event and you don't even give how you look a second thought, because mm-hmm. you've already been very strategic in how you've put it together. And I think that's really, really important to not be haphazard or lack any kind of sense of, oh, this isn't important. It is important because when you walk into that meeting, you know, if you're there for the first time, it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. You're impressing the people that you're meeting, but they in turn are impressing you. And there are many meetings that I've gone to where I've been, you know, dressed effectively and other people haven't. And there've been other individuals who are there for the first time who've been dressed professionally, and they don't come back because they don't see it as a professional organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it communicates a message whether we realize it or not. So the question, what message is it communicating?
Yeah. And I think when you decide that you're going to be strategic about it, you take the power away from other people and it's in your control. Excellent. And so being in control of your message makes sense that you would do that. Why wouldn't you, if you want to get where you want to achieve the goals you've set for yourself as an entrepreneur, or, you know, in a work world situation where you want to move up the corporate ladder, you need to be aware that in order to do that, you have to be consistent in how you present yourself. And you can't get that job. You can get that job, you know, based on your skill sets and how you look and the job that's available. But if you want to move up that ladder, you have to maintain a certain level of that look, and you have to work hard and you have to be able to do the job too. But when you look like you belong there and deserve that job, then it just makes that climb a little bit easier.
Yes. And you're right. You know, you and I know this, and I'll just put this out there for the listeners who don't know this, that research does show that what influences your listeners, your audience, whoever it is that's in the room, their perception of you is 55% is the physical presence, 55% is the highest. So before you even open your mouth to speak, you are communicating who you are, what you represent, and even whether or not you're trustworthy. It's all based on how they see you. It's just these automatic judgments, like you referred to, Mary Lynn, that people make. It's just unconscious that mm-hmm. we assess based on what we see and what we feel and experience. And so you're right, understanding that we actually have control of that. We have the power to, I always say, tilt the odds in our favor by paying attention and intentionally taking care of those things that influence people's perception of you. And so that is why your work is so important, to help people to understand that, yeah, you don't need to worry about this. If you know and are confident in how you're showing up, what you're dressed like, you don't need to worry about whether people are thinking about you or whether or not they like your dress. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you feel good in it? Is this the right dress for you?
Right. And, you know, really, the bottom line is you can't control other people's thoughts or what they think about you. No. But if you take the bull by the horns and decide what you want to say, then you're probably 90% ahead of all the other guys.
Yeah. And I know some people might be thinking right now, well, isn't this really superficial? Isn't that really, you know, just a superficial thing to be thinking about our appearance? Shouldn't people be judging us on other things?
Well, you have to get to them to talk to them about all those other things and not have them already have made a decision about you based on what they're seeing and not be interested. I mean, how many times has someone been dismissed because of the way they've shown up for a meeting? I know I certainly unintentionally dismiss people. You know, I look at them, I think, holy mackerel. And then I just, you know, I'm not interested. I want to talk to people who are professional, who look the part, and, you know, that kind of thing. It should be the opposite. I should probably want to speak to the people who don't come looking professional. But, but the bottom line here is that you cannot, in this industry, give unsolicited advice. You just cannot, because it just it's just not politically acceptable. It's the wrong way to approach it. I need people to come to me and ask me questions that can, you know, that I can answer, that can give them the comfort level to move towards me.
Yeah. And, you know, the research shows that, and I remember hearing about this research back in the late 80s when I was studying to be a speech language pathologist, and they've done these studies over and over and over, and the results come out the same, that yes, this is a human behavior. People determine whether or not they see you as credible, trustworthy, and believable based on certain factors, the words, the sounds that you make, the voice, what comes out of your mouth, but also your physical presence. And so that's just a fact of human nature, unconscious. And yeah, it might seem superficial, but that's just a reality, because it's kind of like the gatekeeper. to get you in the doors. One of the things that I want you to talk about as well is that you mentioned how this whole area of learning how to get dressed on purpose and develop about personal style and everything is actually a skill.
Yes, it's a skill set. And, you know, it's something that you can learn. I certainly didn't know everything. I mean, some people have an innate sense of style, and there's you know who they are. You see them walking down the street and you go, oh, yeah, wow, is that ever interesting, and what a nice outfit or whatever. You just it's just automatic. But then they've just learned that through osmosis, or they've had someone that they've looked up to who's taught them. We used to teach it in school in home economics, believe it or not. But now those courses aren't available. Those soft skill courses, I guess you would call them. And this certainly is a soft skill.
Yeah.
It's not, and learning it is really, advantageous, but it, as you said, it's a skill set that can be learned and through education. And a lot of the, there's opportunities to look in the library, there are classes. I did a lot of work with Metro Continuing Education here in Edmonton when they were doing in-class classes. They haven't because of COVID lately. I hope they get back to that, because that's where, you know, personally, I can have the biggest impact if I get a room full of 12 people. And it's also a lot more fun to do it that way, because you feed, the energy feeds off everyone that's in the class.
Yeah.
So, you know, I certainly can offer those, you know, now in person, just on my own, you know, get together, have a style party or something like that, and have four or five of your friends come over, and I'd come and present a workshop. No, and those are fun to do. I've done those in the past too. But again, as you started to say, it's a skill set. It is definitely a skill set. It's definitely something that's learnable.
Yeah, and one of the other things I want listeners to understand as well is it's not just about making other people see you as put together or credible, but there are actual payoffs to paying attention to this area economically, career-wise, you know, in terms of people's goal setting. Is there anything you can share in terms of what you've discovered, what you know, whether it be research or just the long-term effects that people have discovered as they began to be more strategic about getting dressed on purpose?
Well, I think saving time and money is huge. You know, you save time because your wardrobe is coordinated and you have clothes in your closet that you actually wear. That, you know, the rule that, you know, did you know that the statistics say that we wear 20% of our clothes and 80% of it sits there getting dusty in our closet?
I believe that.
Yeah. So I like to say, let's flip that.
Yes.
You know, because I think people feel like they need to have lots of clothes because we're marketed to so relentlessly. They have to have lots and lots of clothes, but you really don't need to have a lot of clothes. You just need to have clothes that coordinate, that you can get really creative with to make lots of different unusual combinations. I call them clothing capsules, where you can take five or six, seven items or so, and they all make different outfits and they all coordinate together. And then you've got like 40 outfits to wear out of seven pieces of clothing. So that's not going to save you money. That means two things. You can spend more money on each piece because you'll get better value and the quality, and you'll wear them. So that saves you money and it saves you time because you're not fussing around trying to figure out what you need to buy so that you can fill in that part of your wardrobe. So that's what the saving money and time part of it. But the other part of saving money is that you're not, as I said, you're not buying as many clothes. You're not saving time. You're not wasting your time looking at clothes that aren't going to work because they're not the right color. And then when you have something that's coordinated, you save time because you're not, as I said earlier, not fussing around trying to figure out what to wear. And it increases your confidence because you feel good in your clothes. I don't know about you, but have you ever put on an outfit and you've looked in the mirror and you've gone, I don't know, this just doesn't look right anymore. You know, we outgrow our clothes psychically quicker than we do physically. We just get tired of them, or they're not a reflection of who we are if we've gone through a lifestyle change. For example, I've sort of eliminated, but I had a closet full of clothes I brought back to Canada from Arizona thinking, oh, I'll wear these in the summer. Well, I don't, because first of all, it doesn't get warm enough here to wear them. And secondly, they're what I would wear in Arizona, not necessarily what's current here or what looks good in this environment.
Right.
So then I put them on and I wouldn't feel right. It wouldn't feel right. So I take them off and put something else on. How many of us do that all the time?
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, that's huge, just saving time looking in your closet, but also looking in stores for what you need, because you'd be more strategic, and saving money, not buying clothes that you're just going to hang. I remember my mom used to have these clothes in her closet with tags on it for a long time. Like, she would buy it and then she'd never wear it. I'm like, why are you buying these clothes? And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we've done that where you change your mind. Well, you know, maybe I'll wear it one day. Or
it's funny, you know, when you say that, I think to myself, you know, that's a really good way of dealing with that. Oh, I feel like I really need something new and I want something new in my closet, you know? And I mean, we all feel like that. I feel like that. I'm sure you feel like that too. And you go out and you buy some things. And I always say, you know, if it's not a final sale, and just to keep this in mind, if it's not a final sale and you buy it because you feel like you just have to have something new and it's returnable, then have fun, go for it, but just take it back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the key. The bottom line is, don't keep it, take it back, get your money back, and then till the next time. And I have to confess that every once in a while I do that too. I'll go to a store and I'll try on a bunch of stuff and I'll think, oh, this will work. And I'll buy it and then I'll come home and I'll look at it and I think, are you out of your mind? And I'll take it back. It's easier to do those kinds of things with the big stores like the Bay and Winners and Marshalls and places like that than it is a private boutique. So you have to be very strategic about that kind of shopping.
Yes, exactly.
If you want to do that kind of shopping.
Exactly. So in the last few minutes that we have here, and then I'm going to put up your website for people to be able to contact you for a complimentary consultation. But one of the areas that if you could speak into, and I know what my beliefs and perspective on this is, but as someone who speaks, what are some of the mistakes that maybe you've seen or that you would advise people not to make if they're going to be speaking in terms of their clothing or how they dress? It could also be their accessories or whatever it is. What are some of the things, maybe one or two little tips that you can leave with our listeners regarding that?
Well, first of all, from an accessory standpoint, don't wear anything that jingles and jangles, especially if you have a mic on, because then it just interferes with things. And it also can get caught on clothes and then you're distracted, you know, taking them off. From a standpoint of clothing, I always like to suggest solid colors and no prints or anything that's really distracting about what you're going to wear. So if you do all one color top and trouser or skirt, and then add an interesting jacket over top. That's a really, really good way to look pulled together. Or you could do dark bottoms, light tops, especially if you're larger on the bottom and smaller on the top, because dark recedes and light advances. So that will balance you from a distance, make you look more balanced physically. I always suggest three pieces. Two pieces doesn't have enough structure to it. And I always also suggest more tailoring on that third piece, like make it a blazer or a jacket of some type that has structure to it. Shoulders that are level, inset sleeves that give you a more solid outline. And use color to advantage. Don't wear red. It's too loud. Stay to neutral colors like navy, dark gray, black. You can do all white monochrome and then add a dark jacket or just stay monochromatic, all one color. And it just tells a story. And that's the other thing. Tell a story about who you are by the clothes you wear. You know, who am I and how am I going to show up to this? So that those are a couple of things. Just don't do anything distracting.
I love it.
In fabric or color or line of clothing, because that's all people look at and then they don't hear a word you say.
Excellent. I totally agree. You know, I've seen people speak and they have these really bold prints on their clothing or really, really beautiful things that they're wearing, whether it be jewelry. And I'm like, but it's so distracting. Like, I can't hear you or I can't concentrate on listening to you because I'm distracted by
my eyes are so busy. What a
it's too much.
What are you doing? I should look here or there. Where do I want to look?
So again, you know, it's not about changing your personality. It's finding out what are the things that you need for that situation that are going to help you be, yes, showcase the best parts of who you are for the purpose that you're there for. And there's a time and a place for the bold print as opposed to other things. So I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of my pet peeves for sure.
Yes.
Is having a lot going on when you're speaking other than, you know, being able to hear you. So in the last few minutes here, I want to be able to direct people to how they can get a hold of you and what are some things that you would like them to know even going forward. I mean, we just come out of a season and it might be a hybrid season that we're going to stay in for a little bit in terms of the online space. What are some things to keep in mind even when people are on a virtual stage when it comes to the physical appearance?
I think you just have to be aware, even from the shoulders up. Do your hair, put a little makeup on, wear lipstick. Just look like you're making an effort to be professional. The Zoom space, the team space, all of it has really taken over. And if you show up looking like you just rolled out of bed, that's the message. You know, we talk about messaging in your visual presentation. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's full body or from, you know, the shoulder line or mid chest up. You really need to be aware that if you're in a meeting for the purpose of promoting yourself or appearing professional in a meeting with people from outside the firm you work in, or even with each other in your own environment, there's an energy to that. And if you don't make the effort, you send the message that you're not really all in. And I just don't think that that's a strategically wise message to send. I just don't.
That's a really great point. The whole area of energy, I think, is a really important concept and key that we need to keep in mind, no matter where we are, whether it be online or in person, is the energy that we put out is going to impact the people. And if we show up looking drab, and our personality is consistent with that, then we're not going to really attract the people. And we wonder why we're not attracting people to even have a conversation with us, right?
Right.
So being able to stand out is being you, uniquely you, but in the best way that you possibly can. So Mary Lynn, I've put your website on the bottom here, getdressedonpurpose.com. And what is it that you would like, if people want to know more about what you do and be able to have an opportunity to get to know whether or not they need to get tuned up in this area, what are some things that you would direct them to find on your website?
Well, my website right now is a landing page, which will pop them to any of my social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, as well as my Google page. Okay. So that will help with that. But as you said earlier, I do offer a 30-minute complimentary conversation for anyone who's curious about what steps they might consider taking in the future to do a little tune-up or to get in charge and get in control of this part of their lives. So just pop me a note or give me a call, and I'd be delighted to chat with you about any of the things that you're having issues or challenges with and need a little more understanding.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mary Lynn. This has been very, very fun and insightful, and definitely would like to have you come back to do something a little bit more extensive. I know that this is a subject that is really important for all of us, and sometimes it takes numerous contact points to be able to help us understand, help people understand that, no, this is an important area you need to pay attention to, because sometimes we may not know what it is that is blocking us from maybe reaching our goals or moving forward in some way. And this is just one of the areas to pay attention to, say maybe there's something that needs to change in this area that Mary Lynn can help you adjust and tweak. So I want to encourage you to contact Mary Lynn. I know that she has helped me to understand more about my personality in terms of clothing, but I know that this is an area she can definitely help you with and be able to help you look your best and save time, save money, and have less stress about getting dressed on purpose, no matter where you go and what your lifestyle is. So thank you again, Mary Lynn.
It's Lisa.
You're most welcome.
I know.
Thank you, everyone.